수나무를 ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين وعن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا متفق عليه الحمد لله we have been reading a hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم from كتاب العلم and last time we read the hadith about the importance of ikhlas importance of the class of sincerity for ulama, for the people who learn the Quran, for the people who teach the Quran, and also importance of the class for the people who are wealthy and they spend their money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the importance of the class for anybody who makes any sacrifice in the name of Allah azza wa jalla. That although all these are great acts of virtue, but if there is any lack of sincerity on the Day of Judgment, these great acts will have no value. In fact, they will be the first ones who will be thrown into the hell fire if they don't have ikhlas. Today we read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhumah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed Allah azza wa jal, he does not withdraw the knowledge by withdrawing it from the people. However, he will take away, he will withdraw the knowledge by withdrawing the ulama. So much so, حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُقْرِ عَالِمًا, so much so that when Allah Azza wa Jalla would not leave any alim, then people will take heads who are ignorant. They will be asked and they will give fatwa, they will give reply without knowledge. So they will go astray and they will also mislead others. This is the narration of Bukhari and also Muslim. Ilm is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a blessing of Allah azza wa jal for believers. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. The people who fear Allah are those who are ulama. The people who have ilm and the people who do not have ilm, they are not the same, they are not equal. So no doubt it is a great blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. However, like any other blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Allah can give something, Allah can also take it back. Allah can give wealth and Allah can take it back. Allah can give health and Allah can take it back. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he gives children and sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla, he also takes them away. So ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift. Allah bestows ilm and Allah azza wa jalla will also bestow ilm. Towards the end of the world, and the more we further ourselves away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the less ilm you have. Although, if you look at the data, we have more information. Now people have more access to books. People in fact can buy more books. People can print more books. People can publish more books. People can download. Book is just to be downloaded. People can download more books. However, ilm is what Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what Tabi'in, they learn from Sahaba. And what Atba'ut Tabi'in, they learn from Tabi'in, and what the ulama have learned from the early ulama. So the upper you go, the more ilm you have. And the further from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam you go, the less ilm you have. So much so that ilm will be taken away. Ilm will be taken away. Everything will be alright, but there is no ilm. But if there is no ilm, you have jahal, you have ignorance. If there is no ilm, you don't have guidance. You don't have guidance, you have walala, you have misguidance. So ilm will be taken away. How Allah is going to take ilm away? Is it that there will be no more books? Is it that there will be no more access to books? No. People might have books. In fact, you can have libraries. You can own libraries. However, having books does not necessarily mean that you have ilm. Because ilm comes with the company of the ulama. You can gain information and you can gather information by reading books. But ilm, which is the sifa of the heart, which is the quality of a believer, which is the nur of Allah Azza wa Jal, which Allah Azza wa Jal bestows upon whom He loves, that comes with taqwa and that comes with the company of the ulama. The ulama who have had the company of other ulama, and they had the company of their shuyukh, and they had the company of their shuyukh. So it is the continuity of the blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when people don't have the company of the ulama, slowly the ulama will be less and less. When the ulama will be less and less, then the ilm will be taken away. A time will come when there will be no alim left. So when there is no alim left, people will take heads as, who are ignorant. Meaning, people who are ignorant, they will be given the roles of leadership. People who are jahala or juhal, people who don't know anything, they will become, head of this organization, head of that organization. Leading this organization, leading that organization, leading this institute, leading that institute, managing this masjid, managing that masjid. So people who do not know, they will become the head. اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُوسًا جُهَالًا. Not only that, people will give them leadership roles. In fact, whenever they want to know something, instead of going and finding an alim, because there is no alim left, so these people who look important people in the community, and these people who look heads in the community, well, people go and ask them. فَسُمِنُوا, they will be asked. Well, they don't know, so what are they going to do? فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, they will give fatwa, they will give answer, they will give replies without knowledge. They give answers without knowledge. A real alim will hesitate when he is giving answer. A real alim, he will hesitate when replying a question. He will think twice. Am I supposed to answer this question or not? Is it the right answer or not? Should I put it this way? Should I put it that way? Am I sure? Does it have any foundation? Does it have any backup from the Quran, from the Hadith of Rasulullah, from the aqwal of the ulama? Or not? A real alim will hesitate. In fact, sometimes ulama, they take time. They say, I'm sorry, I need time. I don't know. I have to check. A alim will not be shy to say, I don't know. In fact, saying, I do not know, is a sign of alim. Because there is nobody who knows everything. There is nobody who knows everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He knows everything. Other than Allah, everybody's knowledge is limited. Some people, they know certain things, and some people do not know certain things. Even among the ulum of Sharia, among the ulum of deen, you have so many sciences, and so much depth, and so much, breadth. You have, just take ilm of, for example, we are reading a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith, we have ilm of isnad. ulama, they study the chains of narrations, right? You can spend all your life just studying chains of, you're not concerned about the meaning. You're not concerned whatsoever about the meaning of the narration, about the ahkam which can be deducted from those ahadith. You're just concerned about the chains of narration, who narrated from whom, whether the chain is, you know, is connected, is there any broken chain, is there anybody reliable, less reliable, more reliable, a known, unknown person in the chain of narrations. Well, the same narration is narrated by such and such people, what is the difference? You can spend your entire life just studying the chains of narrations. You have ulama who study Jarh and Ta'dil, so they know the names of the ruwat, the names of the narrators, who was born, when, where, whom he met, whom he did not meet. Believe me, this is extraordinary science. This is a science for which you do not have match in any other religion. There is no other religion other than Islam, alhamdulillah, which has such science, that where you can actually verify the people who have narrated these ahadith. You can actually check more than 100,000 ruwat. More than 100,000 ruwat. Who they were, where were they born, whom they learned from, whom they narrate from, and who has narrated from them, etc. You have the ilm of ahkam. So there are ulama who study the ahadith and who make ijtihad and who drive rulings from ahadith. There are ulama who study ahadith which look contradictory, apparently. They may not be contradictory in reality, but apparently they look contradictory. So there are ulama who study that. So even just the ilm of hadith is so vast that people might spend all their life and they might say, well, I just know a little bit. Actually, I do not know much. Then you take the ilm of tafsir, ilm of fiqh, ilm of principles of tafsir, principles of fiqh, you know, all other sciences, ilm of tajweed, ilm of qira'at, ilm of akhlaq and tasawwuf, etc. So a real alim, when he is asked, he will not give you answer straight away. That's why many ulama, especially in the early times, they did not like answering while standing. You know, you are leaving the masjid, somebody asks a question. You are entering the masjid, somebody asks a question. You are waiting for somebody. This is not the way. Because you have to be totally alert. Your mind has to be stable. Sit down, ask. If I know something, I will say yes. If I don't know, I will say I'm sorry. I do not know. But unfortunately, because of, you know, less and less respect for knowledge, people, they think that they can just grab any alim, grab any alim anywhere, grab any imam anywhere, stop anybody anywhere and ask a question. This is not how you ask question. First, look for the opportunity. Look whether he is calm, he is quiet. Is he in the right status of mind or not? And then you ask. And when he is asked, if he knows, he will say yes. If he doesn't know, he will say, well, give me some time. I will go and find out myself. Or I have to talk to other people, because sometimes you have complications. Sometimes you might know the answer, but you have doubt whether this answer is applicable to this situation or not. Because knowing something is different from applying that thing to a particular situation. Abdullah ibn Abbas or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He's a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a senior Sahabi, a faqih and alim Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Once he was asked a question, he doesn't say anything. People come after a few days and ask the same question again. Again, people keep asking him for a month. He took a month to think about it properly. Then after the month passed, he gave the reply. And even then, he said, well, if what I have said is correct, then that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I have said, if it happens to be correct, if that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a possibility that it can be wrong. And if it is wrong, then it is from me and from shaitan. It is from me and from shaitan. Then when he gave the answer, there was another Sahabi. he said that, well, I can witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the similar judgment. Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he became very happy that his judgment, it was actually the judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he did not know. Although he is a senior Sahabi radiallahu anhu, but he did not know. Because, you know, not every Sahabi is with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. So there are circumstances, there are situations when some Sahaba were there and some Sahaba were not there. So certain things happened in front of some certain people, they come to know, and other people, they did not know. And for some reason, there was no discussion, you know, afterwards, whatever, and it did not come to his knowledge. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he took 1 month time to give a reply. And Alhamdulillah, he took the time and he made the right decision, he made the right judgment. And actually, that judgment is the judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if he would have rushed, even if it happens to be true, he would not have been happy. Because rushing and not taking time, not making proper deliberation, is a very risky and a very dangerous matter. فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. They will give a reply, they will give answers without knowledge. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. They will go astray and they will also mislead other people. When a person does not know something and he acts accordingly, well, he is going in the wrong direction. That is wrong. But that harm will only be for himself. But if he misguides other people, well, the harm will be extended. He will harm as many people as he could, and as many people as would receive that information and that knowledge. That's why the way the ulama, they used to hesitate giving a verbal reply. The ulama in the early days, they also used to hesitate writing books. Because you write a book, that's it, it becomes a confirmed knowledge. So anybody who grabs a book, he would assume that this information is true. Because general public, they don't have the ways and means of verification. They don't have the right tools to make sure that it is authentic, it is not authentic. A common man, he will read the book and he will assume that this is what Allah said and this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Well, you cannot attribute something to Allah azza wa jal or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam unless you are sure. If you are not sure, you will go wrong and you will also misguide lots of people. Many ulama in the early days, they did not write lots of books. Many of the great ulama, big ulama, they did not write. They taught lots of people, but they did not write many books. In fact, they would not write books until they become 40. Until the age of 40, they will not write any book. Because before the age of 40, you know, this is the time to study. This is the time to seek ilm. So you seek ilm from this shaykh, from that shaykh, from this alim, from that alim. In this halaqa, in that halaqa, in this madrasa, in that madrasa, in this country, in that country. People used to travel and exhaust themselves learning and seeking. Now, because we have the culture, we have developed the culture of graduation, that you study for 4 years, 5 years, and you graduate, and that's it. You have got the seal, you don't need to learn anything, you don't need to go anywhere. So that's why ilm is also vanished. Otherwise, ulama, they used to spend their life. Alhamdulillah, you know, still Allah gives tawfiq, and still there are people who visit senior ulama and who spend time with them and who seek their advice, and they benefit. Alhamdulillah, I visited some ulama in the subcontinent and also in other countries, where other ulama would come and sit with them. I visited Hazrat Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah. So many ulama used to come and sit with him. In fact, many senior ulama used to come and sit with him. I visited Hazrat Maulana Qamar al-Zaman Sahib in Allahabad. So I have seen many ulama, in fact, many great muftis, many great shuyukhul hadith, they used to come and sit with him, listen to him, and take the blessing of his knowledge and his wisdom. In Hyderabad, also Hazrat Maulana Jamal Rahman Sahib, I have seen many ulama. They might be teaching in their own institute, they might be teaching tafsir or hadith or fiqh, etc. But they would still come and they would seek his advice and they would seek his wisdom. So this is a sign of ilm. The more you know, the more you realize that the less you know. However, it is a sign of the hour that the ilm will be taken away. And the manner the ilm will be taken away is that the ulama will be taken away. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will take the ulama away. And subhanAllah, in this pandemic, many ulama have passed. Many ulama in the Indian subcontinent and many ulama in the Arab world also, they have passed away in a short period of time. Usually, obviously, this is the nature of life, that some people will come and some people will go. You will hear every now and then such alim has died. But in a very short period of time, many ulama who used to teach hadith or fiqh or tafsir, or who used to be heads of many institutes and darul ulums, in a short period of time, they have passed away. So this is a matter of concern. One more thing which can be understood from this hadith, that if you want to preserve knowledge, then you have to preserve ulama and you have to prepare ulama. Knowledge will not be preserved by just having books. Knowledge will be preserved by having ulama. In every community, in every locality, you need to have ulama who can teach people. And that is the only way you can have knowledge preserved. And how that's going to happen? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's not going to send angels to learn the ilm of deen and to serve the community. The people who are going to serve our communities are going to be our own children from our own community. They have to learn. They have to dedicate their life for seeking ilm and for teaching ilm. So if we are sincere for preservation of the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have to prepare ulama in our community. Many people, right from the beginning, they used to say that, this son, I want him for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why not? Because if Allah wanted, He could not have given you that son. So if you have two children, four children, five children, and if you say one child is for the ilm of deen, what is wrong with that? Many people, they don't have even one child. Many people, they are married for many, many years, but still they don't have even one child. Allah has given you four children. So why can't you dedicate one child for the service of deen? One child for the service of the master, for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many ulama, many mothers, they used to have the desire that their children are dedicated for the service of deen. What more beautiful can be than having your child teaching the Quran to hundreds of people, thousands of people? You never know how many people would benefit. What more blessing could be than having your child teaching hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or teaching one masala of deen to the people? بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. That is far greater than having anything in this life. Your child, he might grow up, he might become intelligent, he might earn a degree and he might do a job, he might earn a living, he might buy a house, he might buy a shop, buy a property, whatever, that's it, finished. But once he learns ilm and he teaches ilm, the sawab will continue until the day of judgment. The best sadaqa jariya is ilm. So people used to have the desire right from the beginning that if Allah gives me a son, he will become a hafiz, he will become an alim. If Allah gives me a daughter, she will become a hafiza, she will become an alima. People used to have the desire right from the beginning. That's how we have all this knowledge of Rasulullah s.a.w. preserved. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, right from the childhood, he was dedicated to knowledge. He did not go right, left, here, there. No, only one job is to learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many great aima, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Dar Qutni, Bayhaqi, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. In fact, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he was orphan. Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he was an orphan, you know, a child without father. The father has already passed away. Now, you need that child to earn money so that he can support the family. Well, somehow the family would struggle and would survive. Inshallah, Allah will take care of the family. But if this child learns, well, you never know how much he can benefit the ummah. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. You don't have a match like him in the entire ummah. He had a commentary on Bukhari and also has written many books and very valuable works in the ilm of hadith. So people used to dedicate their children. And somehow, we have a trend nowadays, I see, that people, they want their children to become hafiz. But they do not want their children to serve deen. People, they want their child to become an alim, but they do not want him to serve deen. Well, the reason why you become alim, so that you can teach to the people. Whether people appreciate him or not, whether people value his knowledge or not, whether people look after him or not, that is the problem of the people. If people appreciate him, well, Allah will appreciate them, Allah will reward them. If people value him, Allah will value them. If people look after him, Allah will look after them. But regardless of that, we should have the desire for our children that our children they serve deen. But I find it very strange, nowadays there is a trend, I see it here in the United States and I have also seen it in Europe as well. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, many people, good families, you know, religious family, practicing family, pious family, whatever, lots of good names, right? So Alhamdulillah, everything is good. I want my child to become hafiz. Okay, then what? Then he will do whatever he likes. SubhanAllah. I want my child to become alim. Then what? Well, then he will. I have a shop, he will run the shop. I have a business, he will run the business. There is nothing wrong with running a business. And there is nothing wrong with running a shop or managing a business. But the prime concern should be the service of deen, should be the departing the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if he is not going to be in the service of deen, the knowledge which he gained, that will be lost. It is even true for the worldly knowledge. I have some friends who are engineers. I have some friends who are electrical engineers or electronic engineers. They're not in the field. They're doing odd jobs. I say, how come? They say, well, I had a break. I had a gap, you know, 5 years, 6 years gap. And then that's it. Whatever you have learned, that became irrelevant. You have forgotten. Now you need a lot of time to catch up. And anywhere you go, they cannot wait for you to catch up. They want somebody to be ready and fresh with their knowledge. Even the worldly knowledge, without practicing, that knowledge will become irrelevant. And that knowledge will no longer be valuable and will no longer be beneficial. The knowledge of deen is same. If you seek ilm and then you teach ilm, Allah will bless you in your knowledge. Allah will, you know, polish that knowledge. In fact, many ulama, they used to say that when you teach, that is the time when you learn. When you teach, that is the time when you learn. How come? Because when you are teaching, the people who are learning, they are sincere. They are sincere in their learning. They are sincere that they want to learn the wisdom of Rasulullah, the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the Hadith. Because of this sincerity, Allah will give you knowledge which you can pass it on to them. So teaching ilm and departing ilm and service, offering service for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is the most valuable thing. So when we have the desire for our children to seek ilm, we should also have the desire that inshallah my child, he will depart this knowledge. For some, you know, if Allah has given you wealth, well, let him just dedicate his entire life for the service of Deen. Tell your son, look, I have 5 properties, 2 properties, you know, the rent will come to you. You eat, you do nothing, you just do the service of Deen. I have 2 shops, 1 shop is for your income. You do nothing, you just depart the knowledge of Deen. And somehow, if you do not have that much wealth, because of which he can dedicate his life, and somehow he has to work, okay, let him work a little bit for 2-3 hours, or 4-5 hours. And the rest, let him rely on Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah will not let him down. But if he is going to dedicate all his time to the work, then when he is going to have time to depart the knowledge which he has learned? Many people, they learn for many, many years. But because they do not depart the knowledge, their learning will be lost. In fact, they will be away from the environment of Deen. So their own personal integrity will be compromised. Their own personal spirituality, that can be compromised. If they are not connected with the environment of Deen, that is the human nature. If you are connected with the environment, you are there. If you are not connected with the environment, then slowly, slowly the spirit goes down. So if we want to have the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam preserved, then we have to have ulama, we have to appreciate ulama, we have to serve ulama, we have to prepare ulama. We have to prepare ulama. Any community will only progress if you value the people who have knowledge in that community. How can we have advance in science? We can only have advance in science if we value the scientists, people who do research, you give them a scholarship. People who do research, you give them a scholarship. You tell them that, look, you have to worry about nothing else. Just do what you are doing and we will look after you. Well, then they will dedicate their time and they will become creative in their field. They will become masters in their field. In any aspect of human science, if people dedicate their time, then they will become creative in that field and they will produce. The same also applies to the ilm of Deen. If you want to see ulama being creative, being productive, benefiting people, then they have to dedicate their time. And in order to help them dedicate their time, you have to support them. You have to help them. If you have Muslim governments, then it is a job and it is the responsibility of the Muslim governments to sponsor these ulama. In the early days, the Muslim governments, they used to sponsor ulama. They used to sponsor ulama so much so that they have to worry about nothing. Nothing else. So their only concern is to seek ilm and to depart ilm. So they will spend years and years, years and years in learning, in teaching, in writing, in discussing, in departing the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Ali Mian Sahab, rahimahullah, Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, because his mother used to live in Rai Bareli, in a small village away from Lucknow. And he was studying in Lucknow. His elder brother, he was also a medical doctor. He was alim and also a medical doctor. And he was one of the students of Hazrat Thanvi, rahimahullah. He understood the importance of, you know, learning languages. You know, there is a need for English language, there is a need for other languages. So he encouraged Hazrat Maulana Ali Mian Sahab rahimahullah in his early days to study English as a language, so that you know, there are resources in English which you can approach. And also, if you learn English, you can travel and you can teach, you can preach, etc. But in the Indian subcontinent at that time, learning English could have meant that you are, you know, moving away from Deen. That was the understanding of people. That either you are this way or you are that way. His mother, she was a pious woman, but a very simple woman. So somehow she got the news that her son is learning English. So that meant that he is running away from them. She wrote a letter that if I had 100 Ali, his name was Ali, Abu Hassan Ali, if I had 100 Ali, I would have wished and desired for all of them to become Huffaz and all of them to become Ulama and to become the servants of Deen. And he was the only child. So when you have such desire, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you according to your desire, according to your wish. Why not? Allah will give you, if you are sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will be sincere with you. If you show your sincerity to Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will appreciate that. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to preserve the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from misguidance and from misleading others. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.